Hey, you're listening to Burst Your Bubble. I'm Josh, and I've got Kyla here with me. We are here to bring you the sharpest sports takes. Today, we have a midweek episode where we have some great football conversations. The college football playoffs are almost here, and the NFL is getting intense. We both have our bubbles bursted on this episode. It's a very fun one. Great conversations. Remember to stay plugged into our social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Burst Your Bubble. Twitter is at SportsBYBP. We are available everywhere you get your podcast. Remember to rate, review, share this with your friends, your family, the lady at Starbucks, the guy at McDonald's. Everywhere you go, be talking about Burst Your Bubble. If you're trying to win your fantasy football leagues, tell everyone to check into the podcast episodes. Thank you all so much for listening. But remember, no hard feelings because more than likely, one of us will burst your bubble.
Thanksgiving recap, Josh. How was your Thanksgiving, man?
Thanksgiving was great, Kyler. We actually went down to Hugo, down to God's country in Southeast Oklahoma, rented a cabin on the lake, cooked some turkey, some ham, some mashed potatoes, some rolls, some dressing. All the things from the totem pole were actually at my Thanksgiving. And I think I sent you the picture for the first time in my life. There was sweet potatoes with
Marshmallows.
marshmallows at my Thanksgiving,
Were they,
and I was bamboozled.
they did not look baked on. They looked added on afterward after the sweet potatoes were cooked.
I think they were.
Okay, so in the how I was always raised, how I've always been to Thanksgiving, they've always been cooked, but I've never tried it. I don't know which is better. I'd say they're both bad. But Josh, here's one thing I did miss when we were talking about our favorite Thanksgiving traditions. Tossing the pigskin around, I mean, it can't be beat, obviously. I mean, it tops everyone's list. But Josh, partly to blame is the activity itself, and it's this pen in my hand. It's the walk with my cousins. I mean, Josh, about 20 minutes before the food is ready, me and my cousins disappear down the road for about 15, 10, 15 minutes. We come back, we keep our distance from the rest of the family, and we eat way more than everyone else. That is definitely my favorite tradition.
Okay, little quality time with the cousins.
Exactly. Just walk. Just take a little walk. That's all we're doing.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I understand that. I do the same thing with my niece and nephew, which a new Thanksgiving tradition that was kind of started last year and then continued this year was my wife, who's in way better shape than me, making me work out the morning of Thanksgiving to be able to eat those extra calories. I think that's a sign.
Fuck that. So Josh, I'll
Color. It
ask
was an intense Thanksgiving workout too.
so I will ask you which dish smacked the most?
Easily the dressing. It was number one on my totem pole, and it was the best. I mean, the recipe that my parents used, me, my sister, no, actually, me and my wife actually ended up cooking most of the dressing. Or no, it was me and my sister. My wife was helping with something else, but it was delicious. I mean, the way that they do it, Kyler, I can't give the secret recipe away
Of
unless
course.
people ask for it, but it was delicious.
No.
What about you? What was your
Now,
favorite dish on
well,
Thanksgiving?
and my follow-up question was which dish smacked the hardest for leftovers? So I'll answer both those questions in one. So at the moment, at the very, at Thanksgiving, we had Thanksgiving lunch. I mean, I think you did as well. And that's kind of Thanksgiving feast is more what it is. It's an all-day type of thing. You start at 9 a.m. You start drinking at 9 a.m. anyway, and you eat until midnight. And you recover for the next few days. But at the Thanksgiving lunch, I'm going to tell you, Josh, the banana pudding smacked the most, it smacked the hardest. But for leftovers, I mean, Josh, it's the ham.
Yeah, no, that's good. I was not thinking dessert because we make a thing called sex in the pan. Sex in the pan, it smacked on Thanksgiving Day. Leftovers, the dressing with ham on a roll was delicious. It was very good. Oh, Kyler, the other tradition, you talked about taking the, forgetting about it. One thing I forgot that we always do, and this started a few years ago, and it is a Thanksgiving, but it's really anytime I come home now, we always play games. And so this year we played a game called 313. It's a card game with the whole family. Everyone was invested. We usually either play that or Farkle or Peanut. Like we've
Oh,
got all kinds of games
Farkle.
that we play. Oh yeah, we're competitive. And I usually don't lose. whenever we play games with my family.
That's a problem that my family kind of runs into, Josh, is I am so competitive. And with athletic events, and I'm definitely, I'm not, you know, just a collegiate athlete here, but I'm the most athletic person in my family.
College golf, you are a collegiate athlete.
So, you know, when it comes to like board games and I just get dominated in Monopoly, I lose my fucking mind.
Tyler, speaking of competitive Monopoly players, there is an article out right now, and on Thanksgiving in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there was a man who got so competitive at Monopoly, he chased his father-in-law and his stepsister down the street and shot a gun at the ground to scare them because he was getting beat in Monopoly.
Okay. I don't know if I'm ever going to go. Josh, I walk away from the game before it ever goes that far. I'm going to say, there's football on. I'm going to go watch it. Y'all enjoy your game of Monopoly.
You've got to be in a serious spot to flip over a table and chase people down the street with a gun. I mean, it turned into real life Monopoly.
Absolutely, Josh.
And they went to jail. And I think they're going to have to pay more than $200 to get out.
Oh, well, they're definitely going to jail, Josh. Josh, do you have any thoughts on crypto? Josh, and I'm going to say before you answer that, I think we're the only podcast that didn't talk about crypto.
Well, crypto's in the toilet.
Did we ever talk about it?
I don't know. We might have mentioned it once or twice.
Did you get invested? I think you did. Yeah, we might have talked about it.
A little bit way back when, like during 2020, I sold out a long time ago, thank the Lord. You know, obviously I didn't become a millionaire from it, but I dabbled and got out a little profit and got out and glad that I did. Put it into something else, a little more safe. S&P 500 Vanguard, that's the way to go.
S&P 500 for sure. But Bitcoin is very low right now. People are saying it's not...
Everything's low. I mean, all of crypto's in the toilet right now. I mean, you looked at Ethereum, Bitcoin, all of it. You know, Dogecoin was trending this morning, actually, which was crazy.
Josh, you know, Shopify is down 80% this week. I mean, 80% this quarter.
Amazon also has been down. Kyler, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I'm sure I texted it to you and I sent it to everyone that I knew about a month ago. Amazon was selling at $85 a share when 6 months ago, 3 months ago, it was selling at $160.
Now
it's at $92 a share. So it's definitely a buy low.
We are not financial advisors.
This is not financial advice, but you know, if you're trying to make a bunch of money, I will tell you that on November 19th of 2021, Amazon was selling for $183 a share.
Yeah. And I'm not, I'm going to reiterate again, I'm not a crypto believer. So much so that I've had smart people explain to me what crypto is, and I still have no idea what crypto is. But I will say, Josh, we just reiterated it. Everything is low right now. So, I mean, if you're still a believer in crypto, go ahead and buy you some. Anyway, Josh, the Friday after.
Here's the one piece of financial advice I will give. You never lose until you sell.
100%.
Josh, you haven't lost until you sold.
That's exactly where you run out of money. When did the U.S.-England game happen? Was that on Friday after Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Okay, so we pulled out the draw against England. Or was that Wales? No, that was England. That was England.
England, right? Yeah. England.
And then
we beat Wales already.
Beat Wales, Josh. And then today we ended up, as we're talking, it's coming out yesterday. Yesterday, as you're hearing this, the game against Iran. I mean, what a gutsy performance from Christian Pulisic, Captain America, putting the team on his back, diving in, putting his body on the line, putting the U.S. up 1-0. It ends up being the only goal of the game. I mean, it got pretty hairy there in the what was it, like the 98th minute?
Yeah, it was. It was like the 98th minute. It was very hairy. I told my wife about that, and she, you know, acted like it wasn't that big of a deal, and I said, well, it was pretty close, and I think the entire country all at once took a very deep breath.
We definitely did, Josh, and it was, you know, So we play, is it Netherlands on Monday or Saturday, right?
We play Netherlands on Saturday.
Do you know anything about them?
I know the opening lines come out, and for us to win, we're plus 225.
Plus 225. Josh, we're fine with that. I mean, of course, we're betting on it.
Tyler, take my money. I want all the action I can have betting on America. Bet on America. Buy American. I mean, that's the philosophy here.
100%. And it's at 9 a.m. We can't beat that, especially on Saturday, where it's going to be an absolutely stacked Saturday, Josh. Let's go ahead and get into it, huh?
Let's do it.
So I want to go ahead and talk about it first, just because I want to get out of the way. UFC Fight 9, Thompson versus Holland. It's on Saturday. Josh, Wonderboy Thompson is fighting Kevin Holland in the main event. The card is stacked. Tai Tuivasa, you know the guy who hops up on the octagon and does the shoeys? He's fighting on the card. Emily Ducote, she's the girl from Oklahoma City who wrestled at UCO. She's up and coming, very, very up and coming in the UFC. She's fighting Angela Hill. Josh, and Angela Hill, here's a funny story. She is the granddaughter of Barney and Betty Hill. Do you know who that is?
I don't have a clue.
It's the couple who were abducted by aliens.
Oh.
Betty and Barney Hill. Do a lot of research on them. This is like a legit real story. And Angela Hill is their granddaughter. So Emily Ducote is fighting her in the prelims this weekend. It's going to be an exciting UFC card. I know you're not going to check it out, but I'm going to put a nice parlay together. It'll go out on our TikTok pages and, of course, all of our social media pages. So be on the lookout for that. But Matt Schnell, he's never in a boring fight. RDA is on the card. You know he's a minus 550, for God's sakes. So you might want to stay away from that. But I'm going to let you know right now, if you're listening, you don't watch the TikTok, Stephen Thompson is plus 135 in a kickboxing match, most likely. Go ahead and bet him.
Emily Ducati is minus 125. She's a favorite in that fight.
Yes, she is. Josh, she is a fucking monster. She's the real deal.
Well, I might have to check her out. She's from Oklahoma. Shout out UCO. I might have to go give her a watch.
Roll shows. All right, Josh.
That is all of Hardcore Casual for today. Thanks for tuning in.
Exactly. So, Josh, let's talk about college football, huh? So, the top four or the top six, you know, the playoffs were released today. But let's kind of start with TCU. So TCU and K-State. So K-State dog walked Kansas like last week. Of course, TCU did the same against Iowa State. I bet against TCU every week. Josh, the buck does not stop here. Give me K-State plus 2.5.
Tyler, my question is, why do you hate the Big 12?
I just don't want to watch the Big 12 get embarrassed.
Is it more embarrassing to not make it, or is it more embarrassing to make it and get beat by any other team there?
I mean, if we keep getting there and keep getting beat 63-13, then it's just going to be the same narrative over and over. Where if we just don't get there, maybe the narrative doesn't continue.
Maybe it's not OU.
Maybe it's a little quieter at least.
Yeah, well, I think OU's to blame for that narrative, and we're sending them to the SEC to go get dominated. So, we're not sending them. They are sending themselves.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But the over-under is 62. It should be a fun game to watch. But it's going to be a shootout, no doubt about it. Who you got, Josh?
I love TCU, Kyler. I'm rooting for the Big 12. They've been proving everyone wrong all year. They've been that team. They've gone through the dogfights. They've made it happen. And I just think that this is going to be another moment where they come to play, they shine, and they take Big 12 to the college football playoffs.
They are the 3 seed in the playoffs. So if they win this game, I mean, I don't see them moving up. I mean, if everyone wins out, if everything plays out as it should, you know, here's the ranking. So it's Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC, Ohio State, Alabama. That's the top six. And if all those teams win out, of course, they're going to be in. Any of those teams play? No, none of those teams play. I'm sorry. Because Michigan and Ohio State played last week. So, Josh, Michigan big boy footballed Ohio State in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, it came down to – I mean, the game was close at halftime. The third quarter, Michigan pulled away a little bit. In the fourth quarter, they really big boarding, but they did it. Ultimately, it was through the air. They got the job done, huh?
It was, you know, and I said on the podcast that they really needed to, you know, run the football and play defense to come out and win this game. But they showed that they, you know, didn't really need that. They were able to go toe-to-toe with Ohio State and score out with them and make everything happen. So, I mean, they proved me wrong. They were good enough to win that game.
J.J. McCarthy's definitely stepped up, put his nuts on the line on some of those throws, really testing those Ohio State cornerbacks. It was fun to watch. It was a very fun game to watch. I was going to say, Josh, and I think we're going to say the same thing. Can someone please explain to me why the fuck Purdue and Michigan are playing in the Big Ten championship?
Well, Kyler, I mean, you tried explaining it to me last week, and I didn't understand it. I don't know. I mean, Alabama and Georgia have to do this every year, most years, and play in the SEC championship. So,
like, what's going on? I don't get it. I don't get it whatsoever. But this is 2 years in a row that Michigan has taken down Ohio State. You know, it's a big win for the Harbaugh. I mean, Harbaugh is definitely going to continue to get more and more recruits in there. That team is going to continue to, rise to Georgia's level. I'm not sure if they're going to get there because just of the pipeline of the kids that they're recruiting from, but you know, they're right there in that conversation.
Oh yeah, a lot of defenders, a lot of big time players coming out there, especially with the most recent wins. Whenever you watch a guy like Aiden Hutchinson dominate in the NFL and the Detroit Lions, I mean, it gives a lot of people reason to go. I mean, that's why you see so many players, not just because of success at the college level from Alabama and Georgia and Oklahoma for kids to go there, but it's also because whenever you go to one of these universities, there's a very high percentage that you're going to go to the NFL, and there's a good chance that you could perform well there. But, God, what I was going to ask you a minute ago, I heard this on another show. There was a little bit of debate. DB has to be the toughest position in football, right?
No. I mean, it's right up there. I mean, obviously, Josh, we never really, you know, strapped up the chin straps, but playing it on Madden. Just imagine you're on player lock and you have to play one position on Madden. Cornerback is the absolute hardest to do.
I mean, it's unreal. It would be so hard. Imagine having to stay in a guy's pocket the entire play. Being able to jump, not pass interference. I mean, Kyler, DB has got to be the hardest position to play on the gridiron.
Absolutely. I mean, especially in some man coverage. Josh, imagine 1-on-1 against Stephon.
Playing cover one against Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson. I mean, any of these guys.
I mean, that's nightmare fuel right there, Josh. But someone can answer in the comments, I guess. Someone can DM us. I don't know. Explain to me why Purdue and Michigan are playing in the Big Ten championship. And explain to me why Michigan is going to lose.
Well, Michigan's not going to lose that game. I don't see anyone in this top four losing this week, Kyler. I really
don't either.
But I think it's going to be pretty static, and I think that's what we're going to see. Ohio State was still number four, correct? Yeah, so you'll see Ohio State, Georgia.
No. Ohio State is number five. USC is number
four. USC is number four. Yeah, and USC is not going to lose this week.
Let's talk about them. Let's talk about them right now. USC with a huge win over a tough Notre Dame team. If Caleb Williams was
mid,
they were better later in the season. But I'm saying, here's a good analogy. Here's a Colin Cowherd analogy for you. No, without a fast food reference, of course. If Caleb Williams was a college basketball team and it was heading into March, he would be the friskiest four seed of all time. He would be the absolute number one bet for a Cinderella story to go win the national championship. Because Caleb Williams' Heisman chances, Josh, I think all he has to do is win this game. And it's on Friday night. That's perfect for the Pac-12. They get the full spotlight, USC versus Utah. This is ridiculous. It's not in the Rose Bowl. I don't give a fuck who's playing in it. Put it in the Rose Bowl. Josh, this game is happening in Vegas for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams is probably going to end up with the Heisman. I mean, you know, he's played very good. He's looked very good. I'm not convinced that – obviously, OU has had the narrative of going to the playoffs and losing. I don't see Lincoln Riley breaking that trend from what his own history is. I mean, if he goes and sees Georgia in the playoffs, Georgia completely shuts USC down.
And I wouldn't even, you know, I'm not going to blame that on, you know, a Lincoln Riley curse or anything. Georgia's just so much better than USC.
I mean, I agree, but Kyler, I mean, we've seen it before. This isn't the first time that it would have happened. Or it will happen.
Yeah, but until those playing fields kind of get leveled out, we're going to continue to see Georgia and Alabama win these national championships and do it pretty dominantly, especially in the first round of the playoffs. But like I said, USC minus three, which side are you on?
I'll take USC minus three against Utah.
All right. Over under 67. That's a ton.
That's a lot of points.
Josh, you hit the over. What are you talking about? It's a Friday night game. Points. What else are you going to be doing?
It's a lot of points. I'll take the over just because I want to root for the points. And it's the Pac-12. I mean, you know, this going to be a shootout.
All right. And the number one team in the country, Georgia, facing LSU. I mean, maybe LSU shocks the country, Josh, but probably not. UGA. I almost said USA. UGA is minus 17.5. The over-under is 51. They probably score that by themselves.
Minus 17.5 in the SEC championship.
It's not good.
Kelly, if they win by 17.5 in the SEC championship, book the ticket. I mean, there's no way I'm taking them to cover every game in the playoffs.
You have to, right?
17.5 is a lot of points in the SEC championship. I mean, I'm going to take it, but it's a lot of points.
I mean, it feels like it's almost a lock.
Wow.
I might take an alternate spread, 21.5. I might look those up. I think they're going to win by 30. I think it's Georgia, Josh. Have you seen them play football?
I've watched it. Stetson's pretty good.
All right, Josh. Thanksgiving. I mean, those games feel like a fever dream to me.
It was a wild day. It was a wild day of football.
So, I mean, that's pretty much all I've got on college football. I mean, I really don't got any. I mean, we can kind of, you know, I think we mentioned all the Clemson, South Carolina are playing for the ACC championship, but that's meaningless unless all hell breaks loose.
I have heard that Spencer Rattler is looking at getting a change of scenery. There was a report somewhere out of Tennessee that was talking about Spencer Rattler was going to be making a hop in the transfer portal.
You know, Justin, I thought about bringing them up, but I decided not to. But I mean, this South Carolina team, Shane Beamer, really came along this later on in the season. Really got Spencer Rattler cooking. I mean, why not just go back to South Carolina with Shane Beamer, run it back, Josh? They could be the second or third. I don't want to say they will be, but they potentially could be the second or third best team in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what Spencer Rattler is going to do, you know, what he thinks can make the best decision for him on where he's starting. But now that I'm looking into this, it turned out to be a parody account, but it was looking like they were saying that he was going to be reunited with former OC Marcus Satterfield. Satterfield, who just joined Matt Rhule in Nebraska, which is another headline. Matt Rhule getting the 8-year contract in Nebraska, which is a pretty good job for him.
Well, that's also good news for the Carolina Panthers and David Tepper. David Tepper's ex-owner, huh?
Yeah.
Who's the new owner?
I'll look it up.
I don't know, but whoever it is, he has to pay because he would have had to pay his buyout if Rhule had not gotten another job. But now that he's got another job, that buyout is now, I think he only has to pay a certain percentage of it. So anyway.
It still is David Tepper.
Who was it? Yeah, whoever it was before was racist. He sold the team.
Not good. Can't do that.
Tepper. That's how I remember, because the Stephen A. Smith quote. Tepper.
Well, Kyler, before we get to the NFL, everyone go follow us on social medias. Check out our page on Twitter. The podcast is at SportsBYBP. I am at JKeaton022. Kyler's at Kyler012. Cole is at J_Cole_Jackson. Go follow all of us. Go check us out on TikTok at Burst Your Bubble Podcast. Go check all of the social medias, YouTube, Instagram, all of it. If you want to go check out things for your fantasy football leagues, playoffs are starting next week in a lot of leagues, 2 weeks in some. If you're going to make the playoffs, if you're not and you're in a dynasty league and you're wanting to tank or you're wanting to trade those picks at the end of the season and you want to figure out how to win your league, how to best position yourself, go follow our fantasy football expert, Shane, at FantasyBYB. And then go follow our family over at Unwrapped Sports. They've got Generation Z. They've got Unwrapped Bets. They've got tons of shows that are going on over their live streams all the time on YouTube and on Twitter. So go check them out at Unwrapped Sports. And one last time, go check out the podcast at SportsBYBP and all page on social media at Burst Your Bubble. Thanks, guys, for listening. Kyler, Thanksgiving Day.
Josh, and I'll just mention one more, talk a little more. A little bit more about Unwrapped, and you know, Barstool kind of does, you know, the same thing, you know, and it's really, Josh, become a game day tradition of mine when I'm actually getting to sit down and watch the games, and I'll get to that here in just a minute, but it's when I'm watching the games, you know, the commentary isn't always the greatest. Josh, I love to throw on these guys that are sitting there watching the games with us, doing the watch along, getting some in-game commentary from real life people, real life comments that aren't filtered through the TV, that don't have producers in their ears, that the real people are saying. And you know, flipping between Unwrapped and flipping between Barstool and these different people who do it, it's really beautiful. Check out Unwrapped Sports. They do a great job over there. Thanksgiving, Josh. So I mean, like I said earlier, it felt like a fever dream. I mean, the Lions did everything. I'll talk about the Lions game first, obviously. They did everything exactly right to set Josh Allen and the Bills up to walk off that game.
I was saying it as it was happening. I think I texted to you that this was terrible play calling. That was obviously too much time on the clock for Josh Allen. I mean, like that entire last sequence was just terrible.
And they called, didn't they call a timeout?
Yes. The and Lions. It stopped the clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like they were trying to keep time on the clock. And then, I mean, they threw the incomplete. I mean, Kyler, it was terrible play calling. You should have run the ball in second, and then you throw it. I mean, the whole thing just was mind-boggling. And it was like they wanted to give their defense a chance to step up when, in reality, you could have killed an extra 20 seconds off that clock. And Josh Allen may not have had enough time because they had 33 seconds with two timeouts and a chance to go drive the length of the field, and they absolutely did it. I mean, everyone in the world knew that that was going to happen.
Everyone, like you said, everyone in the world knew that Josh Allen was going to – it was short field position anyway. I mean, they had a nice return on that. And then they – it was known, Josh, they had to get 30 yards in 20 seconds, like 29 seconds. Like, what are we talking about? Like, of course Josh Allen is going to get that.
It was one-shot play to Stephon Diggs, 29 yards.
Like, that's, I mean, come on now. Josh, and I just took a drink of my Dr. Pepper, and I'm sorry to disrupt this conversation, and I'll hold that thought that you have, because I'm sure it's brilliant. Just took a drink of my Dr. Pepper, and I just remember my bubble that was bursted just moments before this podcast started. So while you were loading up, you know, I put my favorite drink, cream soda Dr. Pepper. If you want to send me some, please do it. Put it in the freezer so it'd be nice and cold for the pod. Love to drink it during the pod. And I open the freezer, and it falls out and hits the ground. Josh, when I have to drink a flat pop, I know I just called it pop soda, whatever you want to call it, that nothing bursts my bubble more.
It's a that is a burst your bubble kind of day when you have to drink a flat pop. But it's worse. I would say that your bubble's bursted worse when you drink a flat pop that you don't know is flat.
Oh.
When it surprises you.
Oh, and just you people who like flat pop.
No, that's fake.
No, I know people.
No, Kyler, I'm telling you, those people don't actually like it. That's what I'm telling you. Like, that's fake.
Josh, I know people who set pop out and drink it the day after.
I want to put a truth serum in these people and ask them if they really like it, because there's no way.
All right.
But I mean, this is coming from someone who doesn't even drink soda anymore. I haven't drank soda in years, but I know that you don't drink it flat. It's gross. Yeah.
Josh, I hadn't either until Dr. Pepper and cream soda teamed up, and I'm
that infuriates me.
I've been addicted ever since. Giants Cowboys.
That infuriates me.
Giants Cowboys. What do you got on this game?
Well, real quick, I'm going to go back to my brilliant thought that I had for the Bills and the Lions before you interrupted me bursting my bubble with people that drink flat pop. My bubble was literally bursted on the show. Now I forgot my thought. Oh, the Bills and the Lions. I tear apart the Lions for the last possession of the of the game because they absolutely lost it themselves. They could have went to OT. A lot of other things could have happened. With all that considered, the 4-7 Detroit Lions played the Buffalo Bills pretty well throughout the game, scored enough points to make it work. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the real deal as a wide receiver. I mean, he is going to be one of these elite guys if he can stay healthy, knock on wood. He's doing everything right. Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift are a 1-2 punch that have beef with each other that no one will ever understand. I mean, overall, the team played very well to get themselves in to be able to have a chance. So I will give a shout out to Manny Campbell and the Detroit Lions, you know, to just have this opportunity.
And what Josh, I will say the Giants are playing the Commanders next week, and this is at the Giants. The Commanders are a 2.5-point favorite.
Oh, well, that's probably because Wandell Robinson tore his ACL, and that was one of Danny Dimes' top weapons. And so now he was already weapons were far and few between, and now he has even less of them, and it just makes his life a whole lot harder.
I'm just saying. I like that. I like that Giants. I like the Giants coaching staff a lot, and I think they'll be able to work around that. Primetime Kirk, Josh, what did I say? What did I say Primetime Kirk was going to do? He was going to show up and he was going to shut up the haters, and that's what he did.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to give the credit to Kirk Cousins for winning this game? Is that what we're doing?
I mean, Josh, the New England Patriots weren't talking about this rule whenever that the Steelers catch happened with Hunter Henry or whoever it was.
I mean, I'm just making sure for the sake of the podcast that we, you know, are going to move forward acting like we're going to give Kirk Cousins the credit for the win. Is that what we're doing?
I'm saying Kirk Cousins showed up. I mean, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, Josh.
I mean,
Justin Jefferson. Of course it's Justin Jefferson. He always shows up, and luckily for Kirk, Justin Jefferson is on his team.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're looking at this game, you know, looking at the stat sheet, I can tell you that Mac Jones showed up.
I mean, it was a shootout, Josh. It was a shootout. Do you expect it?
One of these quarterbacks had an interception and one didn't. You know which one had the interception?
Come on now.
Kirk Cousins.
Both these running backs, I mean, were pretty limited. I mean, Dalvin Cook had an abysmal game. Did you expect this kind of shootout?
No one expected Kirk Cousins to throw 3 touchdowns, and no one expected Mac Jones to throw more than 20 times. So this was a shock to the entire country, but it was a pleasant shock. I mean, it was a lot of points on Thanksgiving, you know, night. We had a great game to watch, a lot of fireworks that were there. Kirk did make the game-winning throw to Adam Thielen to seal the deal. You know, the thing about Justin Jefferson is he is the best wide receiver in the league. I mean, he's the guy. He is number one. It doesn't matter. Anyone in the comments, anyone in the DMs can get out of here with Devontae Adams, with Stephon Diggs. Justin Jefferson is the number one wide receiver in the NFL right now.
Hands down.
And if you're Kirk Cousins, all you have to do is throw it in his vicinity. We saw that whenever he was playing against the Bills and he had the catch of the year. If you throw it near Justin Jefferson, he's going to come down with the ball.
And Josh, I've started a Madden franchise. I'm really deep into it. I'm 2 years deep into a Madden franchise. I'm playing every game. I'm in the Miami Dolphins, and it's just if I get Tyreek Hill 10 targets at the end of the game, if I need a touchdown, Josh, I'm throwing the ball to Jaylen Waddle because all of the attention is on Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, exactly. And Adam Thielen's a very good wide receiver too.
So that's, I mean, Josh, watch out for the Miami Dolphins. I'm telling
you. So how happy is Colt, your brother?
Oh, about the Vikings.
Yeah, oh yeah, big dude, Vikings fan.
He is absolutely elated. I mean, he's, you know him. He's not too optimistic about them yet. He's hopeful.
He knows Kirk Cousins in primetime is garbage.
Josh, he's been there much long before Kirk. He's been there in the days.
Yeah, he watched Brett Favre throw crossbody interception to cost him a playoff run.
He watched them. I mean, instead of handing it off to Adrian Peterson, throw crossbody interceptions, it was insane. I mean, back at Josh, it was, yeah. So
I've been in fantasy football leagues with your brother when he drafted only Vikings players.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right.
So I'm sure he is very happy at the moment.
Absolute diehard. And I told him about the Vikings bet. I mean, so hopefully we get that done.
The Vikings bet.
We don't have a Vikings bet, do we?
No. Well, I have a bet on the Raiders.
Raiders.
And I feel very good about that bet.
Oh, it's Big Cat who has a Vikings bet.
Yeah, no, yeah. Mine's on the Raiders. No way would I, you know, bet a pinky on.
No, it's not a pinky bet. You haven't heard their bet.
Oh no.
They have to get a tattoo of Kirk Cousins' face.
Oh, it's gotta be him with the chains.
Of course.
If he wins the Super Bowl?
If they, I want to say if he goes to the Super Bowl, Josh.
Oh, now that's interesting. Although, you know, it's primetime game, first round of the playoffs. So, you know, he doesn't have anything to worry about. He'll be fine.
All right, Josh, let's talk about two games right now and at the same time, because they both ended the same way. And I know you're not going to want to talk about this game. Let's start with the Chargers and Cardinals. You will want to talk about this game because my guy Kyler, he ended up on the losing end. I mean, the Chargers just win these games, huh? I mean, they find a way to always win these games.
Well, no, that's the thing. They don't. And that's
just the Herbert area.
And still, no, they don't. I mean, that's the thing. They have a ton of close score losses. I mean, that's where this team really suffers.
Yeah.
And so that's why it was such a big deal for them to get this win over Arizona.
That is true. And it was a really fun game to watch. I mean, Justin Herbert absolutely lit it up. 274 passing yards, 3 touchdowns through the air. And Kyler Murray, over 250 all-purpose yards. It was a really fun game to watch. But did you see – I mean, obviously the quote was kind of taken out of context when they were talking about one play, and Kyler Murray was like, well, schematically, we were kind of fucked. And because he was just talking about one play on like a 4th-and-1 where the Chargers knew exactly what they were going to do. But what do you think about Cliff Kingsbury? I mean, he was just given an extension. There's no way he's fired, right?
No, they're not going to fire him. I mean, Kyler, let's be real. DeAndre Hopkins wasn't here for the beginning of the season. Dude. Rondale Moore wasn't playing at the beginning of the season. They didn't have the weapons. This defense is not good. I've been saying that for years on this podcast, that the Arizona Cardinals defense is basically an overhyped high school team. So, you know, I'm not just trying to rag on these guys. I'm just saying what it is. I mean, this defense has not been good. Outside of Buda Baker, Patterson, and Watt,
Isaiah Simmons.
There's just not very many of these pieces to go around on defense.
Josh, don't name Watt.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but I watched him sack the quarterback on like the third play, and it happens every game. He ends up finding a way to make some kind of impact play. So, you know, I'm going to give the highlights a shout out whenever they deserve one, because it's just not often that the Arizona Cardinals defense makes these kinds of plays.
And you also have to look at Matt Prater. He missed one field goal in this game, so that obviously was very, very costly in this game against the Chargers. But, Josh, let's move on. Do you have anything else in this game?
Well, I would just say the only thing to note from the Chargers side, and, you know, one of the reasons I think they won this close game is because Herbert has his favorite weapon back in Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's been out all year, and he just came back for the second game in a row and quickly has established himself as the number one target back on this team.
That's exactly right. And so let's move on, Josh, to your favorite team. That is the Ravens and the Jaguars. And I mean, what an absolute drive from Trevor Lawrence in the final. What was it, Josh? I mean, how long did he have to make that play? I'm going to look it up right now. Josh, he a minute 48, he led a 10-play 75-yard touchdown drive to extend to take the lead 28 to 27 right? Yes, 28-27.
Jaguars. The Ravens.
The Ravens didn't get the ball. Josh, they get down just enough to where Josh, the line was on the graphic to where Justin Field Justin Tucker needed to be to make the game winning field goal, right? I mean, it was on the graphic. Did it show for you?
Oh yeah, it was there.
So I mean, and it comes up probably what, 3-4 yards short at least?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not many guys in the NFL that are even lining up to take the 67-yard field goal attempt. Most teams are throwing a Hail Mary and hoping for the best. So I'm not going to put any of the blame on Justin Tucker.
No.
I mean, you know, Justin Automat Tucker is automatic from almost anywhere. 67 yards is unreal. I think it's crazy that we live in a world of football where everyone on Twitter just automatically assumed Justin Tucker was going to make a 67-yarder for the win, when in reality, 67 yards kicking a football is very difficult. It is not easy to do. Justin Tucker, one of the guys who can. Kyler, our defense has just continued to do this.
So what's up with that? I mean, Josh, you've given up. You're the only team to give up four to lose four games this season when losing by two, when leading by at least two touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put a lot of this on our offense, because our defense actually, you know, doesn't play terrible, obviously, until these big moments, and then it's just highlighted. But really, we've got to figure out ways to score the football. And we can't do that because we don't have the weapons. I've been saying it. DeMarcus Robinson looks like an all-star week in and week out when Lamar's throwing him the ball. But we don't have any weapons. Mark Andrews dropped two touchdowns in the end zone, resulted in a field goal. I mean, those have got to get brought down. I mean, we've got to be able to make plays. That's why we're losing these games, because we can't score. It's not because our defense isn't playing well. Marlon Humphreys every week is making MVP-type, defense player of the year-type plays to strip the ball, get a pick when it matters. I mean, we made that kind of play then. But whenever we fumbled the ball and the Jaguars got it back that close to the end zone, I just knew. I was like, you know, this is just going to be another one of those games. But it was because we couldn't score. There's no reason that the Baltimore Ravens should not be able to score on the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. That's where the buck stops. We've got to figure out things on offense. I don't know if you saw the tweet from Lamar after the game.
That was hilarious.
And obviously Harbaugh has talked to him afterwards. you never even smelled the turf. You know, but the offense has to take the blame. And I'm not blaming Lamar. I'm blaming the fact that we need some weapons on this team, because you don't have any outside of Mark Andrews. And when Mark Andrews has a bad game, it's highlighted because of all the good games that he has and how good he is.
No, you're exactly right, Josh, because the number one highlight of the game for the Ravens was DeSean Jackson catching a 74-yard pass or whatever it was. I mean, what do you have, two catches for the game? So that's obviously not going to get it done. But I was going to say, next week you do have a bye. I mean, you play the Broncos.
Well, to buy for a normal team, they got a pretty good defense, and we got to be able to score.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I think you'll get it done, though.
Well, I mean, I would hope to God that we can beat the Broncos. The thing is, the Ravens are still a very good team. I mean, we are a really good football team, and we kind of play down to our competition.
No doubt about that. And a team
– Or up. We play down or up to the competition.
Let's talk about a team that plays maybe down to their competition, but also plays up to their competition. The Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, this was on Sunday Night Football. So 44-33, they beat the Packers. Jordan Love comes in. Aaron Rodgers left the game. It was a rib injury. He wanted to make sure it wasn't a punctured lung, is what he said. On McAfee today, I saw that he said he plans on playing next week. He says he's fine. But Josh, let's talk about this Eagles team. Jalen Hurts. I mean, how is he not the MVP?
Because what Patrick Mahomes is doing is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, so is Jalen Hurts, though.
I mean,
310 all-purpose yards, two touchdowns.
I get it. I mean, I get it. I love Jalen Hurts what he's able to do.
10-1?
But Patrick Mahomes has looked just as good.
Josh, do you know how many rushing yards Philadelphia Eagles had? No looking.
How many rushing yards they had in the game total?
Yeah.
185.
353.
Sheesh. It's a lot of yards.
Buck.
Miles Sanders actually looking like a running back again, which is wild. Absolutely. After he told everyone to not draft him in fantasy.
Two tutties. Josh, he had a monster fantasy game today. And next week, so I wanted to bring this up because next week, the Titans and the Eagles play. And Josh, what a game that is going to be. So let's talk about the Titans game.
Wait, hold on real quick, Keller.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. Eagles. Jalen Hurts, 2,560 passing yards. Patrick Mahomes, 3,585.
No doubt. Who's the most valuable player to their team?
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
looking at touchdowns, passing touchdowns, Kyler. Patrick Mahomes, 29. Jalen Hurts, 17.
Total touchdowns.
Okay, that is – so passing, it's 29-17. Let me look at rushing here real quick.
All right, so while you do say that, the Chiefs, Josh, I mean, they are 9-2. So, I mean, you have to give it to that. Isaiah Pacheco, I mean, he's a rookie. He should not be wearing number 10, but he seems to be an actual player in this league. While the receiving core, I mean, Josh, you forget how deep they really are. I mean, they've got Juju Smith-Schuster. They got MVS. They got Travis Kelce. They got Jerry McKinnon. I mean, then I just mentioned Pacheco. This Chiefs team is really, really poised to, again, I mean, Josh, they're a dynasty for a reason.
Yeah, the Chiefs, I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes. So Jalen Hurts has 17, no, 8, sorry. He has 8 touchdowns. So that's 25-29, which is still led by Patrick Mahomes. So
I mean, and that's why Patrick Mahomes is a favorite to win MVP right now.
Yeah, but that's why he is the MVP.
You know what Tua is?
Third.
Plus 500.
Yeah, he's probably in third place now.
I got him at it. He's actually
second. Lamar out of the top 5.
He's like, I have a picture right here of the MVP odds. Let me pull it up here. So I'm wrong. I don't. I'm sorry. I
lied. That's all right. So, yeah, no, the Chiefs are good. Patrick Mahomes always going to be good. Isaiah Pacheco showing that he can play. The Chiefs also just signed Melvin Gordon, which I don't know how much time he's actually going to get, but it is a good veteran depth piece. But Isaiah Pacheco as a rookie is playing very well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still playing, you know, pretty decent. Travis Kelce, unlike Mark Andrews, does not drop anything ever and is like the most sure-handed person in the NFL other than Justin Jefferson. It's the most annoying thing that I've ever seen because you expect him to like fall off a cliff at some point, but he doesn't. He's just so good and strong. But the one thing that I was going to say earlier whenever you were talking about Aaron Rodgers is the Packers, Kyler, the Packers are basically – on the way out. So they're pretty much out of the playoffs at this point. What would cause Aaron Rodgers to finish out the year? I mean, do we see Jordan Love playing the last 5 games of the season?
Do you see Aaron Rodgers letting Jordan Love playing the rest of the 5 games of the season? That's the real question.
If they're not playing for the playoffs and I'm Aaron Rodgers, why am I playing?
Because he's Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I get it. I get it, but if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm not playing the last 3 games.
I say he plays these last 5 games and he retires.
Oh, you think retirement's coming?
Yep, that's my prediction.
Matt Ryan retires after this year too, right?
I sure fucking hope so.
I think we're gonna see a little bit of a mass exodus of these guys leaving the NFL.
I sure hope so. Josh, let's talk about Bengals Titans, and that'll match up 2 games perfectly that we talk about next. For next week, Bengals Titans. So the Bengals, this game was fantastic. I mean, it was a little low scoring, but I mean, with no Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, we talk about how deep this the receiving core is for the Bengals and how deep it has been all year long. T. Higgins absolutely steps up, 7 receptions on 9 targets. Joe Burrow over 270 yards for the day. Bengals outlast the Titans. And Josh, you were right. I mean, Tractor Cedo season starts in December.
It's not November. It is December. Although Derrick Henry still had a pretty good game.
17 carries, 38 yards.
Did he have any receiving work? I thought I saw a pretty good highlight of
Derrick. Yeah, he had a long of 69. So
yeah, that's what I thought. He had a there was that one play, you know, is going to get him to that 100-yard mark every game. You know, Derrick Henry's going to hit 100 yards. But, yeah, no, Track to Shooter season isn't until December, Kyler. The Bengals, this is their game. What the wild thing about the Bengals right now is, you know, you said without Jamar Chase, but this is also without Joe Mixon. Samaje Perine from Oklahoma, the backup, is out here looking like an all-star, you know, getting a ton of receiving work, running the ball all over everyone. I mean, just making a presence on the football field. Even when Joe Mixon was out there, he was making plays. And so giving him the feature back spot, Samaje looking pretty good on this Bengals offense, adjusting well. Treylon Burks also looks very good. Obviously, his numbers were a little inflated because of the other touchdown when Derrick Henry fumbled into the end zone and he picked up a touchdown, which I kind of thought was weird because I thought there was a rule that you couldn't fumble forward. But apparently that was nothing.
Was it punched forward?
It was punched down, but it was still a fumble. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I thought the rule was you couldn't fumble forward.
Nah, I'm not sure, Josh.
Well, we need a rules analyst to check, which obviously it's not a thing because they would have called it differently. But, you know, that was my thought. So I said, well, I guess we're just saying to hell with the rules. We can fumble forward. That, because if I'm doing that, I'm fumbling the ball forward every time, and I'm going to, you know, get an extra 20 yards.
That's what we get, Josh. And that's what we love about sports, the human element. the humans behind the plate, the humans out there just fucking shit up. We love it. That's why we watch sports.
I did see a great video of an individual. He was on the sidelines of this game, or like right by the tunnel, and one of the refs was walking out. He goes, "Hey, Manny, Manny," got a high five, and he goes, "I got the over. Thanks, brother." And the ref just puts his hands up and just smirks and walks away. Pretty funny.
That's nice. So let's. I brought up those two games to preview this game next week. Titans at Eagles. What a game. Philly is -5. What are you thinking about this game? It's at noon, by the way.
Give me Philly, -5. I think the Eagles are just going to, you know, keep dominating, especially when it's not prime time. I think that they're looking good. I mean, I was kind of worried that they were going to go into two-loss skid there after they lost that first, and I kind of thought that it was going to be downhill for them. But Jalen Hurts bounced right back in that last game. They got everything figured out. I don't see them having too much problems with this Tennessee team. Tennessee still got to figure out weapons on offense. I don't know that Robert Woods is there yet. Treylon Burks is looking very good. It is Tractor Cito season, which is going to give Philadelphia some problems. This is game one in December. Derrick Henry's going to have 150-plus yards, but Jalen Hurts just answers every time. It's hard for me to bet against him until I see him lose.
No, Josh, you said it exactly right. It is the first game in December. It is officially Tractor Cito season. They will go 4-0 this month. They're going to finish with maybe 5 losses on the season. The Titans are going to be hosting the AFC playoffs more than likely. I mean, they're going to be right there with the Chiefs to host the AFC playoffs. Anything else?
No, I couldn't disagree more there, but I mean, Mike Vrabel always does seem to find this team, find their way to the playoffs and find their way to a high seed. So I'm not going to completely disagree that they, you know, are going to win some games in December. I just don't think that this game is going to be the one.
One last thing I'll mention from this past week that I really liked was Josh Jacobs' walk-off touchdown,
88 yards.
Yeah, something like that. 80, yeah, whatever it was. Walk-off touchdown. That was fantastic to see. I mean, he did a big fuck you to the Raiders. I mean, how did they not give that guy the 58? I mean, well, let's not get started on it.
It was the longest overtime touchdown since like 1986.
Yeah.
I mean, just awesome to see. Yeah, you love to see that from Josh Jacobs. Something I wanted to note from last week, Kyler, and I know that you're going to love to talk about this. The dog was caged last week. Mike White comes out and looks like the MVP of the NFL. Where has he been all year, and why do they keep throwing Zach Wilson out there?
Josh, did I call it or did I call it? I mean, we got the breaking news during the last podcast that Zach Wilson was going to be benched. And I said, well, if they start Mike White, then they're going to win this game.
You said, I will take the money line.
And as soon as that news was announced, I tweeted, Jets money line locked in. And Josh, there's no question about it. I'm not going to say they're going to win this week. I'm not even sure who they're playing. Jets Vikings. Vikings are 3-point favorites. You know why? Because Mike White is in the game.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's starting again this week. If not, I would be shocked.
You fucking kidding me? We get up with Zach Wilson back in the game?
I did see Robert Saleh came out and said that Zach Wilson's career was not over with the Jets and he still had more football to play.
God damn it. I mean, it was cool to see Sam Darnold this past week and win a game, though.
Yeah, scored quite a few points, too. And you know what? There's a quarterback not named Baker Mayfield, and guess who has a great game? DJ Moore. DJ Moore always has a great game when someone not named Baker Mayfield is throwing him the football, which this week he got his fourth touchdown grab of the year. All he needs is one more touchdown to eclipse his career record, which is 4 touchdowns in a season.
Wow.
Seems so low.
I mean, it's a product of his environment, as they would say. Josh, let's preview this Thursday night game. December 1st, first game of December. Bills at Patriots, Buffalo -4 on Prime Video. Kirk and Al will be on the call.
I love the Bills -4.
The Bills -4. I'm going to have to lean with you there just because, I mean, they're going into Foxborough. They're going to want to prove to the Patriots once more that they're the kings of this division. They're going to be running this division this year. They're going to win this division this year, going to try and run the AFC this year as they're trying to dethrone the Chiefs. We will see if they can get it done. I'm going to go with Bills -4 as well, though.
I just think that Mac Jones had a fantastic game against the Vikings. They came up short, and I don't think that he's going to be able to do that same thing against the Bills. I don't think he's going to have two great games in a row. I think they're going to lean more heavily on the ground game, try to take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. But the thing about the Bills, Kyler, they're going to be able to score. I mean, yeah, the Bills are going to score on their offensive drive.
I was just going to say that the Vikings just put up 33 points against this Patriots team. I'm not quite – I mean, that's concerning going into a game against the Bills the very next week. I mean, on a short week, nonetheless.
Yeah, and you're playing against Stephon Diggs, who is, you know, a top 5 wide receiver in the league. So, still, you have a weapon that you have to worry about, just like you did with Justin Jefferson. And, I mean, they've got a fantastic group of weapons in Buffalo. Devin Singletary is actually starting to come on. The entire offense is looking like a unit out there. I'm nervous if I'm the Patriots.
Easily. So we'll talk about just a few of these games that we like as our favorite locks that we have of the week. Josh, one lock that I'm really liking, this is Dolphins at the 49ers. San Francisco is -4. What do you think about this game?
Dolphins where?
Dolphins at 49ers.
49ers. Man, that's tough. Miami's on a hot streak. They are undefeated with Tua. So, I mean, it makes it easy to put, you know, to want to lean towards the Dolphins. But I think I'm going to take the home favorite here and take the 49ers -4. I think they've got a pretty good defense. And it's another team that can score points with Miami. I think the over-under is at 46.5. I'm hammering that. I think these teams are going to be able to score points. The 49ers have Debo, have Brandon Ayuk, have Christian McCaffrey. They're going to score. Obviously, the Dolphins are going to put up points. So I'm going to take the 49ers -4, and I'm also betting the over.
I've got the Dolphins money line. I've got the Dolphins +4. I think this is a great spot for them to go in there to really cement themselves as one of the top teams in the AFC to challenge the Bills. I just said the Bills were going to take over the AFC East. I'm going to say the Bills are going to really put them on pause, really put them on make them really think over, hey, who are we going to see later on in the season? Maybe we'll have to fight for the wild card because of these frisky Bills. The frisky Dolphins. I really like the Dolphins in this spot. What's the game you really like this week?
Here's a game I like, Kyler, just because of the storyline.
Yeah.
It's revenge week. Cleveland Browns versus the Houston Texans. Cleveland is -7. And you know, what we learned is that Kyle Allen is not the guy. Taylor Heine or Davis Mills, not looking like the guy. There's also going to be about 10 women sitting in a suite watching Deshaun Watson's first game. I think he's going to want to put on a show against the worst team in the NFL. Give me the Cleveland Browns -7 on the road, making a statement in Deshaun Watson's first win. Look for Deshaun Watson to put on an absolute clinic in this game.
I would say he throws us the, I mean, over under 20 times. What do you say?
Over.
I say under. I think Nick Chubb carries this game. I think they win this game 21-3. I think they dominate the Texans, but I don't think Deshaun Watson really shows off too much, to be honest.
I think he's going to look very good in this game.
I think he looks good. I just don't think he is.
They're going to do some. They're going to run some play action passes. They're going to get some easy screen plays to Chubb. The numbers are going to be inflated for Deshaun Watson week one.
If they want to, very well could. I just don't think they will. One more, Josh, or a few more, I guess. However long we want to go, it doesn't really matter. We're just chilling. That's one more thing that we talked about a little bit before the show. You know, this show has a format, and if you're still listening at this point, I mean, congratulations to you. But I mean, the show has a format, but it's also just a conversation that we're having. Josh, any other games we want to talk about here?
I think this Kansas City Chiefs Cincinnati Bengals game is a great, great spot that I cannot believe is not the primetime game instead of the Colts and the Cowboys.
When does flexing start?
No idea. Should have already started.
It's fucking ridiculous that this hasn't started yet. Because, I mean, Josh, the two primetime games are Colts and Cowboys and Saints and Buccaneers.
Saints and Buccaneers, I get. That's a very good rivalry.
Yeah, but it's not – I get it's a good rivalry, but that's why we have flex sync.
Yeah, that one should stay. The Colts and Cowboys should not. That game should not be here. That game's got to go. And you've got to put Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow in primetime.
No, you got to put the Dolphins and 49ers on Monday night. Saints and Buccaneers, it's a good rivalry, but they're Josh, at best, they're mid.
Yeah, but this is playoff implications on the line. The Bucs need to win.
I'm so goddamn tired of hearing about the Bucs playoffs.
Kyler, I haven't looked at the rankings, but before last week, they were still number one. Division. Exactly. This is big playoff implications, divisional rivalry game. It's got to stay in primetime. But you flex out the Colts and Matt Ryan, and you put in Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. So Kansas City's -2, Bengals +2.5, -2.5. Kyler, what do you think about that?
52.5 over under. I mean, last week, the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, obviously laid the smackdown on the LA Rams. Josh, they won, what, 5 in a row? More than that. I mean, Bengals looking to win 4 in a row. I mean, they beat a nice win against Tennessee last week. It's a real – Josh, I'm going to lean Kansas City here just because the Bengals are still missing Ja'Marr Chase. I'm going to lean Chiefs -2.5.
What about if Ja'Marr plays?
I think he's out for – I thought it said like 6 weeks.
No, he's back practicing.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah. There was a chance he played last week.
Give me Chiefs. The 2.5 really does scare me though, because I think it very could easily be a 3-point game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't like -2.5. I'd probably buy the -3.5, but I'm gonna lean towards the Chiefs. I have no reason to believe that they just won't win games. It's starting to be, you know, my rule for the longest time. Well, and it still is. In the playoffs, I don't bet against Tom Brady. And now my rule is basically turning into I just don't bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very hard to.
At least during the regular season, I won't.
Any other games we need to talk? We missed. I mean, I'm not keeping track. Jaguars-Lions.
Yeah, I mean, that's a battle for some mid-teams. I mean, the Lions, I would love to see them win that game.
Trevor Lawrence is elite. Packers Bears. It's going to be interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers plays. It's going to be very interesting to see if Justin Fields plays. If both do, let's say if both do, give me Bears +4.
I was staring at that earlier, and I was going to say it as one of my first games, but man, it's just the storyline there is so good. Does Aaron Rodgers still own the Bears?
But
I mean, that's
wouldn't that be like the most anti-hero thing of all time for Aaron Rodgers to finally go out, lose to Chicago, and retire?
Big Cat would be very happy. Just for the sake of history and all the things Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to take the Packers money line. I'm not going to touch the spread, but I will take the Packers money line in this game. I could care less about the over-under. Christian Watson looks like an absolute stud.
Oh, man.
Darnell Mooney is on IR. He's out. Really? Out of the year.
Yeah, I did see that. And, I mean, earlier in the year, I think I saw this on McAfee's show on Monday. Aaron Rodgers had a quote. I think he said it in one of his press conferences that, you know, you don't see – he said this very early when Christian Watson was struggling. You don't see many Christian Watsons walking around practice facilities every now and then. Like, you just don't see them once a year. Like, these type of guys are very, very different, and you're seeing it now.
Yeah, no, Christian Watson is working and it's paying off. Yeah, give me the Packers. Now that I remember about Darnell Mooney, give me the Packers -4.
I'm going to go with the Bears. If they win, they win by 3. The Packers.
Probably a touchdown. No, Kyler, I'm good there. I mean, that's a lot of the game. Well, one other game that has, you know, division rivalry implication stuff is the Chargers and Raiders. Two teams that love to choke towards the end of games. This will be a very fun game to watch. The Chargers are -2 on the road. What do you think about that?
How does that have just a quick question. How does that – for the Chargers, right?
Yeah, for the Chargers. Chargers need to keep winning games.
What about for the Raiders? If the Raiders went out.
I mean, what's their current record?
4-7. If they finish 10-7.
Then, yeah, they're probably going to end up in the playoffs.
Okay, so if Deshaun Watson comes back and wins out.
They're not winning out, though. That's the difference. Well, I mean, it's not even a difference because the Raiders also are not going to win out.
Josh, here's the.
But here's the other thing I would say is that the other teams in the AFC North are going to be just as good as that.
I'll tell you the Browns' remaining schedule: Texans, Bengals, Ravens,
loss,
Saints, Commanders. Win. Steelers
win. So yeah, they're gonna at least win one game. They're not gonna win out. They're not gonna beat the Bengals and the Ravens and the Steelers. They're not winning out in the division.
I'm just saying, Josh, things, crazy things have happened. I think that's about it though. I mean, let's go ahead and preview Monday night just because we won't put out another episode this week. Saints Buccaneers. I'm happy to place the bet on
Tom Brady, Bucks -3.5, cash it.
What's Tom Brady's record versus the Saints in the regular season? Isn't it pretty bad?
It's very bad. You know what else is crazy about this game? Guess who's coming back from the Saints this week?
Who's that?
Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore covering Mike Evans again. So maybe another bad week for Mike. It'll be fun to watch to see if they get into another fight on the football field.
Who's playing quarterback?
Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, and Taysom Hill.
Just put Taysom Hill in the game and just don't even let the other two quarterbacks dress. Just let him play the whole game. Even if he gets hurt, just put Kamara in at quarterback and let him run. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the Andy Dalton experience. Obviously, I'm just lost 0. They didn't score any points last week, did they?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure they got shut out 13-0.
Yeah, but Chris Olave is good. Alvin Kamara is supposed to be good.
13-0, Josh.
Oh, by the way, Tom Brady's all-time record is 5-5 against the Saints.
And they did win against the Saints earlier this season, so I like your pick there. I'll have to ride with you on that. Kyler and the Cardinals and the Panthers are on bye this week. A much needed bye, I would say, for both of those teams as they figure out a few more things that they need to get aligned before the end of the season comes along. Anything else, Josh, before we get out of here?
No, I think we did a good job of covering everything today, Kyler. My bubble was bursted that people drink flat soda, which is absolutely mind-boggling.
It's kind of like what I told you about that mukbang thing.
Yeah, also very strange. I mean, and the fact that people is that what people do on TikTok for lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that still just kind of stresses me out. Well, Colin, this is a very fun episode. Exactly. Thanks for hanging out. I've got to be up in about 4.5 hours to get ready to go to the gym so I can go work out with my wife to stay with this, you know, perfect physique that I have. Oh, actually, some fitness news, Kyler. I benched a PR today, 215. Benching out 215. I think there's a very good chance at 225 next week. I'm going to get it on film, you know, make the whole world know that I joined the 225 club. So look for that next week.
I'm so glad to hear that, buddy. Continue on your fitness goals, and I'm here to support you as well as the BYB family. End this episode, we want to thank you all one more time for listening. Continuing to support us, and we'll see you guys next week.